Grace and peace to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration this morning are found at the beginning of our gospel reading. They're the words that are printed in italics on the back page of your bulletin there under the gospel lesson. It is written, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" So far, our sermon text. Let us pray. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, I'm sure that most of you have seen the commercial. There's some guy walking around downtown amidst the skyscrapers, or maybe out in a field with nothing around him, and he's got his cell phone up to his ear and he says, "Can you hear me now?" I'm almost programmed at that point now to say, "Good!" Because that's how the commercial goes, and it was such a successful commercial for Verizon. They ran that commercial for months, and the point that they were trying to make was that they had better cellular coverage across our country than anybody else. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the point was that where typically you'd expect the signal to be all muddled and garbled, maybe because of tall skyscrapers blocking it out, or because you're far away from all antennas, their point was that you could still hear, you could still get the signal and make the connection. "Can you hear me now?" And the reception was good. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. Jesus went into the cities, and he proclaimed there the gospel of the kingdom and healed diseases and every affliction. Jesus went out to the remote places in Israel, to the villages, and he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and healed many people. Jesus went to the places where there had been poor reception of God's word, where the word had been garbled and muddled throughout the ages by unfaithful men, where the word is muddled and garbled, there you will find people who are oppressed, people who are suffering and nervous and dying in their spirits, even when they had all the comforts of this life. Jesus went far and wide to where people were suffering, where people were dying. And he preached good news. He miraculously healed many people, even though that was really only temporary. Those miracles were not the main point. They were just there to identify who it was who was speaking the good news to these people, so that they would know that it was the message straight from God. Jesus attended to those who needed to hear the good news. He went to those who were suffering, who had been confused by this garbled and muddled message. For many generations, the people of Israel had suffered with this muddled and garbled message of God's word. They had taken the part of God's word that we call the law, and they had twisted it around until it became for them a set of rules for them to follow to try to make God happy with them. And nothing could be further from the truth about it. They took the message of the gospel and hid it under a bushel. People had no idea what the good news really was. This business of a garbled and muddled message is very serious. I don't know if you heard this story recently. I think it was last week even. There was a young lady who went bungee jumping. And as she was standing on the platform and the fellow was hooking the harness up, he wasn't an English speaker. And he said to her, "No jump." And she heard, "Now jump." What a sad thing. This is serious business. The garbled reception of God's word is serious business. Because of that bad reception, the people thought that they were basically good enough for God and that they just really needed to top things off with a few good works, with a few things that God would find acceptable. They thought that that would then make them pleasing to God and that they could go and be with Him in heaven when they died. It was like a little boost to get them over the hump, to get them into heaven. And so they lived their lives trying to figure out ways to be more moral, trying to figure out ways that they could impress God with their holiness. But nothing could have been farther from the truth. God's word so clearly proclaims there is no one who does good, not even one. God's word so clearly proclaims that the inclinations of men's hearts are evil. There's no doubt about it. God's word says that we need a savior from sin and from death. We're not going to be able to fix this on our own. It's never worked that way. And God's word pointed those people who were hearing Jesus, pointed them to that one who was visiting them that day, who was proclaiming the good news to them, who was healing people with his word. The people in the cities and villages that Jesus visited were hurting for the truth, even if they didn't know it. And Jesus was preaching the truth to them, preaching it loud and clear and backing it up, making sure they knew that he had the authority to preach what he was preaching. Now, cell phone providers, they like to improve their network and their product because they expect to profit from having a better product on the market. But Jesus didn't come into this world to make money or anything like that. He came because he saw people in need. He saw the people of Israel deceived by untruth and headed for hell and damnation. And in his compassion, he could not imagine staying away. He had compassion on them. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. But it's not just the people of Israel who were in this condition. It's not just the people that lived 2,000 years ago that he saw. Remember who he is. Remember what those miracles say about him, that he is the one and only true God who had come to save his people. When we think about that fact, we know that he sees all people of all times. His sight extends to every place and every people. Remember also what God had said before. The whole Old Testament is about the coming Savior of mankind. It's about Jesus Christ. It clearly proclaims that salvation would be by this Messiah who was coming, and now here he is before them. It clearly teaches that this Messiah would be coming for not just the Jew, but also the non-Jews, the Gentiles, that he would be coming to save people like us. It also says that he saw the whole mass of humanity, from Adam and Eve to the last person born. He saw us scattered and confused and dying, and he had compassion on us, even though we don't deserve it. It's true that we're not eyewitnesses to this like the people of Israel were so long ago. We don't see these miraculous healings happening very often these days. It's true that we're not present to see the rest of the righteous deeds that Jesus did during his life. And it's also true that we don't get to be witnesses, eyewitnesses, to what happened on Calvary when Jesus went up on the cross to take away our sins, when he went down into the tomb to die our death. We weren't there on Easter morning to see the empty tomb. We weren't there on that mountaintop to see him ascend up into heaven. But can you hear him now? You can. His voice comes to us today across the ages. It comes to us through the voices of those who did hear, who did see. It comes to us from generation upon generation of Christians proclaiming these words of God, proclaiming that he loves us and has compassion on us, and that he desires above all to save you and me. That message comes through loud and clear, thank God. That's the good news. Preached to the people of Israel so long ago, preached to us today, that the Savior is here. His claims were shocking. Think about what Jesus was saying about himself. He was proclaiming to the people that he was God. He claimed to be the Messiah, God in the flesh. He claimed that he was completing the mission for which he had been sent, that he was about to become the substitute, that he was about to be killed as a sacrifice for the people, and that on the third day he would rise. He proclaimed that loud and clear, and we've been proclaiming that ever since. He said that he would be the substitute who would take upon himself all our sins and die with them, so that God's righteous anger over sin would be fully satisfied by him, and that God would always remain just and always remain loving at the same time. Now, many paid Jesus no attention. It didn't matter to them what he was saying, but many heard the message. And they wondered, could it be so simple? Could it be true that God saves on account of his great love for us and not because of what we have tried to do? Many scoffed because they were accustomed to thinking that they didn't need God to fix things. They were going to do it. Many rejected him, and many heard him. Which group are you a part of? Today we're here listening to his word, so it would seem obvious that we must be part of that group that heard his word and believed it. And that's true. But it's also true that there's a part in each and every one of us, an old sinful nature that scoffs at that idea. There's part of us that doesn't pay attention to God's word when we hear it. We go through the week getting caught up in this thing and that and not paying much attention to God's word. That's why this voice of our Savior needs to be heard. Every day, every week, especially in this place. That's why we constantly need to be reminded of the message that God forgives us for Jesus' sake, and that we have a place with him, because when we turn and look at our sins, time and again, we realize we don't deserve God's goodness toward us. And we wonder. We need to hear that voice of Jesus loud and clear, over and over. What God says about our weakness is true. We need to hear Jesus proclaiming the good news. Your sins are forgiven. And so don't neglect that. Our reading says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Fellow redeemed, it is important that we bring this message out loud and clear, not just to the people here in Lake Havasu, the people in our families, but also the people far and wide. We need to pray for the work of our synod and for the work of our congregation. Pray with earnestness and intent. We need to think about these things and ask that the Lord would support our work, that the Lord would bless our work, that He would enable us to send out missionaries, that He would enable us as a congregation to continue to share this word clearly and loudly, because there are not many people proclaiming it anymore. In every place on earth, we want the people who Jesus died for to hear the voice of the Savior saying loud and clear, "You are forgiven." And we pray that they will say to that, "Good," with one voice, so that they know and that we know that we have a place in heaven with our Savior because of what Jesus did for us. That is the permanent, lasting healing that Jesus brought. And that is the message that we want people to hear. That is the message that the Lord has given us to proclaim. May we speak it loudly and clearly. Amen. Please rise. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.